Did you feel an imaginary touch when I asked you to really concentrate and feel it?
Yes.
Wow. Can you please show everybody where you felt that touch?
The last time I actually didn't...
You didn't feel it, right? It was only in your imagination. That was supposed to be it. Tell us where it happened in your imagination.
This is... I have to be clean about this, right? Okay. My chest.
I like that. Guys, I'm going to tell you something crazy. Are you ready?
Yes.
I never touched you in my life, Carmen. Never. You see, when I told you to close your eyes, I was sliding my finger on my forehead. You felt my finger sliding on your forehead. Never touched you. When I told you I'm going to tickle you, I was actually tickling Ross right here. Everybody saw that you started smiling because you felt that tickle.
That is a guy named Ehud, who's one of the contestants on the NBC show Phenomenon last night, which NBC is promoting as almost a supernatural event. We're looking for someone who can do the mysterious, the impossible. We're going to be casting a critical eye over our competition with judges Chris Angel and Uri Geller. Well, as soon as I heard that Geller was going to be involved, I knew I had to get a review from my friend James Randi of the James Randi Educational Foundation, who has been exposing Geller for nearly four decades now. And for that and many other reasons, is one of my heroes, and I'm proud to call him a friend as well. And he's back this afternoon on KMOX. Hi, Randi. How are you?
Exposing Geller, is that an indictable offense?
Well, it was a lawsuitable offense, as you've discovered.
Oh, yes. So, oh, yes, indeed.
So did you watch this thing last night?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I steeled myself and watched it. I didn't expect much, and I didn't get much. The ratings are out now, and it got 2.9 out of 8.
Yeah, it came in third in its day part last night in that hour on NBC. The thing that bothered me about this is that they kept talking about the supernatural. In fact, that guy we just played, Ehud, said, you know, my life has been controlled by my dead brother. He kept talking about the supernatural. There was another guy who did a trick with a wolf trap who kept saying, oh, I don't know where I get the power to do these things. Of course they do. These are just magic tricks, aren't they?
Yeah, that's, Penn and Teller made the bear trap thing famous, of course. They used to do it in their show all the time, and they've moved on to better things, I guess. But you know, what surprised me, though, Paul, was that I predicted yesterday at 1 o'clock on my website, I put up a prediction of what Geller would do.
Yeah.
And bang on. He did the ESP card trick.
But let me read that for my listeners. You say, and you watched him on the Today Show yesterday morning, and based on that, you wrote this. Geller says that he'll be conducting an interesting intuitive experiment with the people at home. Really? Well, I'll bet that he'll do the same tired old routine in which people are asked to choose among the five ESP card symbols. That's exactly what he did last night.
And not only that, you don't know the rest of the story, though, Paul. I didn't write it all out there. I didn't have the time to do it, tell you the truth. But he has done this all over Europe. He's done it in the UK. He's done it in the United States and Israel, all over the world. He's done the same stunt, and he always chooses the star.
Is that right?
He's never failed to choose the star because the magicians found out a long time ago, if you arrange the five ESP symbols in a horizontal row and you put the star into the second position, the second one from the left, that's the one that will be predominantly chosen. Now, their reasoning on that is you never choose, if you've got five of them in a row from left to right, you never choose one on the ends. You never choose the middle one because that would be pretty obvious. So you either choose two or you choose four. And since the star is the only one of the shapes that was filled in and it had a solid look to it, and it was in number two, that's the one that people are going to seize upon. And we found that to be statistically true for years now. You can always bet on that. They will choose the star. Mind you, on this particular program, the star got, I think it was 28% of the viewers, and the circle got 27. So a circle almost won.
Yeah, he was 1% change there, and he would have been shown up on national TV.
Yeah, there you go. But the tired old tricks, this is a three-trick pony.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he only knows three tricks, and this is one of them.
Can we expect next week to see him bending spoons and keys?
What else has he got?
Now, you and I have talked about Chris Angel before, and I know that you told me when you were on with me a few months ago that you had spoken to Chris and kind of warned him about taking part in this show. What did you think of his role in it as he performed it last night?
Well, since the time that I spoke to you last fall, Actually, about a month or so ago, I spoke with Chris at length on the telephone, and he assured me that he was not going to accept anything that Geller or the other contestants did as being supernatural, because Chris makes no claim to being supernatural or paranormal in any way. If people want to assume that, hey, that's what they will assume. But he doesn't make any claims that way. He doesn't try to push it down anybody's throat. He's being very honest and straightforward. Now, I was quite satisfied with what he did on the program last night. I thought it could have been a little slicker, a little smoother, but it was a live show, and Chris, I think, is not very accustomed to doing live shows, though he does a lot of them. I think Chris did very well, and I'm proud of him.
Yeah, I thought he did a very good job, too, especially by saying, you know what, you did pretty well with that, but Banachek, the guy who invented that trick, does it much better. and there were a couple of times there, the guy who did the trick with the nail guns. And for those of you who didn't see it, there are a set of nail guns there, five of them that are laid out. And he chooses the Nobel Prize winning genius Carmen Electra to be his assistant and load one of the nail guns without telling him what it is. And then he puts the nail guns up to his head in a deadly game of Russian roulette, as they promoted it. And surprise, at the end, the nails don't go into his head. They go into the board.
Well, I consider that a failure. It should have gone into his head.
And if he had lived with the nails in his head, now you got an act.
Yeah, you got it. You can only do it once, but man, will it ever make an impression.
But after that, Chris said something to the effect of, this is a very good illusion. I do it with a real gun and real bullets, but hey, it's your act.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought that was good. Do you think there's any potential here if they were to say, we're not looking for supernatural phenomenon here, we're looking for really good magicians and really good illusionists?
Well, NBC passed a rule about this show some time ago, and I got this from the Inner Sanctum. We will not use the word magician anywhere in the series, and you don't hear them use the name magician. They don't want to be sullied by a mere performance, you see. They would rather have it be considered as possibly the real thing. Who knows? Well, I know, and I think you know, Paul.
I'm not a professional magician. I'm a fan, but I'm not a professional magician, and I could see these things last night and know that they were just tricks being done. But you're telling me the word magician or magic has been banned from the show?
That's right. They don't use it at all. They never refer to magicians, and we never use the word. It's a very interesting technique, isn't it?
I think it is, because they're denying reality.
Yep.
And it's one thing to suspend disbelief when you go see a magician like yourself, like Penn and Teller, like Chris Angel, like Copperfield, like any of these other people who are very good at what they do. You have to suspend disbelief and go along and say, I believe that what's happening to me here is real. But in the back of your mind, you still have to have that, I know this is a trick. And as you watched the show last night, and I don't know how many weeks this thing is going to last with low ratings, I hope that people will bear that in mind. Now, I do have to ask you, since you offer the $1 million psychic challenge for anybody who can prove that they've done anything supernatural, will you then challenge these people, considering that some of them seem to be making supernatural claims?
Well, they'd have to actually say this is supernatural, or to merely say something as most of the, as a couple of them there did, I don't understand how this works. Well, magicians would say that too, and so I can't really draw the line there. I can't really say that they're stepping over the line. I can't draw it any closer to them like that. It's when they are going to talk to the dead or do something like that that I'm going to come out and expose exactly how that's done. The minute that it's done, within 24 hours, I'll be on YouTube telling everybody exactly how the trick was done.
Oh, you're going to expose them?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Oh, I think that's great. I think that's great. The thing about this show last night was I think that NBC pumped it up to be way too serious. But it is, in fact, based on a show that was a hit in Israel, isn't it?
Well, the show was a hit in Israel, Paul, in the strangest way. The Israelis tuned into the thing and gave it huge ratings because they wanted to see a train wreck. Because as we went along, every one of Geller's tricks were being exposed during the week by other stations. And he was left without any tricks. He couldn't do anything at the end of the series. But it did get huge ratings because people were saying, you got to be tuned into this program. You won't believe how bad it is. So they tune in. And NBC runs on ratings. They don't care whether it's good or bad, as long as they got figures to work with, because that's what their advertising revenue is based on.
You're absolutely right. Now, speaking of Geller, one of the things I did like in the introduction of him last night was when they talked about some of the things that he'd done, and they showed clips of him bending spoons and keys, two of the only tricks that he knows. They did include a clip of him appearing on The Carson Show.
That's right.
And failing. And you were partly responsible for that happening. Would you share that story again with my audience?
Well, I got a call from Carson before Geller appeared. I was living in New Jersey at the time. And he said, could we fly you in a big rush and you appear on the show opposite Geller? And I said, John, that won't happen because he will walk off the show. He just won't appear. He wouldn't dare appear with me. And I said, not only that, I will get a phone call pretty soon now, because this was in the about noon or so on the day of the show. I said, I'll get a call pretty soon, and the call will be just a hang-up because he wants to check where I am. In those days, it wasn't like it is today where you can interlink phones across the country. If he called me and I answered, or one of his assistants called me and I answered at my home phone, he would know that I'm in New Jersey. And sure enough, 2 hours after I hung up with Carson, the phone rang and I said, hello, and all I heard was nothing, and I said, hello, and then click, and that was it. They were checking to make sure I was in New Jersey. They didn't want me anywhere near that studio.
Now, Carson was a skeptic.
Oh, yes,
but
sir.
But allowed Geller to come on there under certain conditions because of what you had warned him about, right?
Well, what I did is I talked to the prop man, and I said, first of all, don't let anyone near any of the spoons that you get ready. Tape them all down with scotch tape to the tray, put them away in the prop cupboard, and keep the padlock on it. And Paul, I've forgotten what his name was, the prop man at the time, said, yeah, sure, I'll do this, that, and the other thing. Well, then they reported to me afterwards. Carson was in stitches laughing over it over the telephone. He said, Geller's assistant, Shippy, his brother-in-law now, kept on going around to the prop man and saying, I better take a look at the spoons, make sure they're okay. The prop man said, oh, they're really, well, they're very just fine. There are all kinds of them spoons there. And we got them exactly the way you called for them. And then he wanted to touch this and he wanted to touch that. And they kept the prop cupboard just locked and they wouldn't let him anywhere near them. And they walked the stuff out and put the props on the table before Geller got to the set. So he didn't even have a chance to see them.
So he didn't have a chance to prep these things by
That's
bending
right.
them ahead of time, et cetera.
That's right.
All right, so then he goes out, Carson introduces him, and Carson, I thought, having seen the clip many times, I thought Carson was actually very genial towards him. As if
very courteous.
He didn't want to say to him, by the way, we're setting you up tonight, and certainly didn't want to do that, but it was, look, if you can really do these things, prove it.
Well, Geller, of course, complained. He said, I thought you had a lot of questions to ask me. And Carson said, well, we can ask you the questions if you want. And he said, well, no, because he was all set to just be asked questions about how great he was, not to demonstrate.
Mm-hmm. And when he did the demonstration?
Nothing happened. Absolutely nothing. He started to try one of them with the aluminum film cans and then decided he was going to abort that. And then he didn't want to do the sealed drawing inside the pocket because Fred DeCordova, the producer at the time, he had, according to my instructions, he had gone into his office, closed the door, and had made the drawing and then put it in his inside jacket pocket and hadn't taken off his jacket until the time for the show. And he was sitting right at the foot of the camera, prepared to produce the envelope with the sealed drawing in it. And Geller knew that he hadn't had a chance to look at anything, so he decided not to do it. He just opted out of it.
Essentially telling Johnny, I'm tired tonight.
Yeah, he's very tired. And nervous. Oh, yeah, nervous. Here's a guy who's done hundreds of TV shows all over the world, major TV shows, and suddenly when he gets into some sort of a configuration where he can't get out of it, he's nervous. I guess he was nervous.
Yeah, I guess he was.
You know, what struck me, too, is on the Today Show that Geller just did in preparation for the Phenomenon show, he did the same old one of his three tricks, bending and breaking a spoon. The spoon broke, and Matt Lauer, just before he went off the out of the segment, he said, yeah, I think it was a defective spoon. Absolutely on. Right on, Matt. You got it, baby.
Exactly. Exactly. Do you think that a show like this is good or bad for magic?
Well, it's bad for magic. It's bad for everybody. I don't think it's going to work at all. I think it's going to collapse under its own weight unless NBC puts a lot more money into it and a lot more effort. But Ben Silverman, the guy who came up with this brilliant idea, I think he's going to be regretting the fact that he made this decision.
I think they've actually put too much money into it, and I don't mean that as a joke. I think that they have overproduced the yep. show and overpromoted the show and tried to raise the bar as if there is something impossible and truly supernatural going on here, when in fact It's just magic tricks. And by the way, they're not horrible tricks, and they're not being done horribly. I mean, again, I'm speaking as a layperson. You as a magician, of course, see these things and can rate them completely differently than I can. I didn't think that things last night were the worst I've ever seen. I've seen some pretty bad magic tricks in my life. These were not among them.
Well, that's true. Think about the telephone book trick. You remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I think there were five telephone books, or four of them, whatever it was.
Yep.
And they named the cities that they were from. And they asked a gentleman in the audience to choose one at random, and he chose it. And they announced that it was the Atlanta telephone directory. Then they had somebody choose a number which would be the page number, and it was 333. Now, can't you imagine, Paul, that everybody in Atlanta was running for their phone books and turning to page 333? They looked down column two, and, the phone number that eventually was developed wasn't in that list.
What?
That's the way the trick is done. I'm not going to give you any more details. It's a damn good trick. But the point is, this guy did announce the name of the city, which was silly. He should have covered the names of the cities over with masking tape and just said, these are four major American cities.
So the people of Atlanta today know that this was not a well-done trick.
That everybody in Atlanta and maybe a few more.
Wow. Oh, I love that. I love that.
It's not only that, but the mentalist, when he was doing his routine, he was supposed to say X at the end of the number, and he didn't. He said 1 because he already knew the last digit. He slipped, and I thought I saw his lip bleeding when he bit it. Maybe not.
Well, NBC is offering the winner of this thing $250,000. Maybe next week there'll be somebody who does a decent act and is worthy of being able to perform it in front of the public and getting this grand prize. The real bottom line number for me, though, of course, is $1 million, which is what James Randi is offering to anybody who can prove that any of this was done by other than human means. In other words, if there is supernatural or psychic ability being used.
And I have a prediction, Paul.
Yes?
There's a guy named Guy Bavli, who is from Israel, who is a great, great mentalist. He outperforms Geller 10-1, and he's one of the people coming up on subsequent shows. So watch this guy. He's going to take the prize. I'm sure of it.
What's his name again?
Guy Bavli, B-A-V-L-I.
Now, how exactly did you know that? Is that some sort of psychic supernatural thing,
Randy? It came up to me on my toast in the morning. It was on the burned toast. There was an image of Guy Bavli on the toast.
Wow, there you go. There's a prediction. We'll stand
right
by that.
The Virgin Mary, yes.
You know I'll hold you accountable if you're wrong.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, absolutely.
All right. It's always a pleasure talking to you.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you so much. The James Randi Educational Foundation is online at randi.org. You can go there and read more about what he's writing about this show and see some of the videos, and maybe if they do keep up with the supernatural claims, he'll actually do some video podcasts and really expose how they're doing these, particularly, as he pointed out on this show, the ones next week where there's supposed to be some claims of talking to the dead. Although, as Michael Shermer at Caltech has said, talking to the dead, not hard. Getting them to talk back, impossible. It's News Talk 1120 KMOX.